right. Well, good morning again to everybody. It's just great to be here. I'm excited to share what I believe God put on my heart for all of us. So if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64, please? Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the idea that we are clay and God is the potter. And I know in our environment that we're in, the economy that we're in, our society, there's not a whole lot of people that do pottery. That there's Pottery Barn, but I don't think this is that. In the old days, every city, like when the scriptures were written, especially in Isaiah and Jeremiah's time, there would have been one of the main businesses in town would have been the potter. And so a lot of people would make their own pots and plates and cups. But if you could afford it, or for a special event, you'd go there and you'd hire this guy to make a very specific piece of equipment or cookery or pottery for that event. So if someone was getting married, you might go there and ask them to make a set of salt and pepper shakers. I'm just saying for America. I don't know what, if they probably had salt shaker, but I don't know what other spices they would have had. But maybe you'd have them make a special plate to put the bread on. Or maybe you'd have them make a special chalice for them to drink wine as part of their wedding ceremony. So a potter was an important person in the town, in the city that in their when these stories, when these verses were written. So when we think today, as I talk about the potter and the clay, think of one of the most creative, professional, artistic, important person in that city. That's who is the potter that's going to take up a piece of clay, which we're a lot like a piece of clay. We really are, especially before we come to Christ. If you think of a lump of, I used to live in Standale. Anybody live in Standale? I know Andy and Denise do. Few of us have either lived in Standale or do live there now. Standale, my yard in Standale was almost all clay. Almost all clay. I didn't have any dirt. I didn't have any gravel. Now where I live, it's sand except for where it's rocks. That's what I find in Grantville. But in Standale, there was some clay. And on the one slope going down towards the creek, if you dug down there at all, I mean like if you went more than about this deep, that clay was stinky. It was nasty, stanky, slimy clay. You didn't want to get it on you because you had to scrub pretty hard to get it off. If you got in the treads of your shoe, you're in trouble. One time when I was in Nigeria, excuse me, when we were in Kenya, we went down in Nairobi slums and open sewers, all kinds of human and animal excrement getting mixed up in all this stuff. And that's, we walked up and down the street. And those shoes, when I got home, I literally had to take a wire brush to scrub the clay out of those, the cleats, or the just the regular treads on my dress shoes, just to try to get that clay out that had dried in there. And you want to talk about stinky, nasty, grubby, dirty stuff? That was that. So when God talks in this scenario about a potter who is like himself and clay who is us, outside of God, outside of salvation, we are slimy, grubby, dirty, almost worthless. But God. Amen. Right? Because, I mean, I'm looking around. I think everybody here today is born again. So that's awesome. I have the total freedom just to preach to the saints. And it's like, awesome. This is perfect for the saints. Isaiah 64, are you there? Because today I want to talk about, I want to blow this idea of the new normal. I want to blow that out of the sky. I'm not buying into the new normal. I'm just not. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God hasn't changed. You think God's quarantined right now? This little section of heaven he's got to stay in? And that's just idiotic. How about the Holy Ghost? Can you picture the Holy Ghost with a mask on? Do you think Jesus is walking around trying to find some hand sanitizer? Come on. This is human stuff, and if there's one thing we know about humans and humanity, things change all the time. There's no such thing as a normal. Stuff's always changing. If you ask our grandparents what was normal, this ain't it. A year ago wasn't it. If you ask our parents what was normal, they'd say, none of this stuff. Internet, what's the internet? What do you mean internet? What's a USB? Huh? What do you mean you're going to send me a file on my phone? Huh? Right? And so when we look at people, the media especially, trying to drive us into fear and saying, oh, this is the new normal, you better adapt, I think it's actually code for you better settle. Quit believing for something big. Quit believing for something great certainly quit believing in God, because if he had any control, all this wouldn't happen, right? Baloney. He's totally in control, and he's using this right now for our good purposes. He really is. He's got a plan and a future for each one of us. And this time, this coronavirus stuff that we're all going through, right now God wants to use us. He wants to work in us to bring us into the fullness of his plans for us. Well, how's he do that? We can't hardly do anything. I'm telling you, right now is a great time to let God use the pressure in your life to bring you into the fullness of his purposes. Do you know the only way that you can shape clay is if you put pressure on it? So if God's going to say he's the potter and we're the clay and we want him to shape Jesus in us, we want him to form something in us and with us and through us, then we got to like pressure. Without pressure, we're going to stay a blob of unchanged clay. But God comes and finds that clay and picks it up and he starts working it. That's what happens when we get born again. He goes out to this whole field, this whole yard, like mine was in Stainda, all of it was. He goes out there and he specifically gets this chunk of clay that he then calls Mike. And you know, when I was in school, when I was a kid, we played a lot with Play-Doh and clay and stuff like that. And we tried to make bowls. And I totally did it wrong. I just found out I totally did bowls and plates and all that stuff wrong. Because what I would do is I'd roll it out into this big long strip. And then I'd coil that around to make like a bowl. And then I'd smooth the sides. And that's totally wrong. Do you know how a real potter does it? Somebody knows what they're doing? They take that blob of clay and they put their thumbs down into it. And they kind of turn it inside out. So they take it from being round, and they push it down and pull it apart, so now it has this big old hole in the middle. That's how they do it. Then they put it on a wheel, and they start working it by applying pressure in different points until it comes to the shape that they're after. So God wants to use the pressure we're all feeling right now, and I think all of us are feeling some kind of pressure right now, right, as we go through this stuff. What's coming up next? What's the summer going to look like? What's the 4th of July going to look like? What are the holidays going to look like? What's going to happen? Is there going to be another wave of corona coming through? Is there going to be corona 20, corona 22, corona 163? Whatever, right? We're being bombarded with this stuff. And I just want to say, God is totally in control right now, and he wants to use the pressure we're feeling to shape us into the finished product. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. So it can't get any plainer than that. And by the way, there's tons of scriptures. If you do a Google search on scriptures with potter or clay in it, you'll find dozens of scriptures about the potter and the clay, dozens of them. In Romans, Paul takes almost two whole chapters talking about the potter and the clay and how God can pick out clay as grubby as he chooses and show his glory and his kindness to do something magnificent with it. That's New Testament. I want to stick with this idea in the Old Testament that there's this guy that goes and gets this lump of clay and starts working it with his hands, and he's just this amazing creator, artist guy that puts us on the wheel and then creates this unique thing. Now, you want to turn to Jeremiah 18? This is going to be one of our main scriptures. I'll bounce around a little bit, but Isaiah 64, 8 says it so plain. And then Jeremiah 18, we're going to read 3 through 6. But I want you to think about this idea. If I was this creator, this potter, and I'm going to make some things out of clay, I'm going to need different amounts, and I'm going to do different things to it to get a different result. If I wanted to make a salt shaker, like something about this big, or if I wanted to make a pasta bowl big enough to have all my rallies over to have pasta, this thing's going to be like this big, right? It's going to be huge. Salt shakers is like this. But guess what? This isn't better than that, and that's not better than this. Because when that pasta's done, you're going to want to put some salt on it. And if you ain't got the salt for the meal, guess what? Who wants plain, bland pasta? Nobody. Who wants 47 salt shakers? Nobody. You need them both. Salt only need a salt shaker would only need a tiny amount of clay, a little tiny bit. Where this pasta bowl is going to need like 2 pounds of clay. When I go to form this thing, I can probably just about stick my finger in it, kind of form it around that thing, get a top on it somehow, and put some toothpick holes in it, and you're about done. Now, I bet an expert would do it differently, but that's how an ex-dime maker would do it. A pasta bowl, well, you just get the stuff and kind of make a big bowl, and you smooth it out, and you try to get it to set while it dries. This is how Jeremiah 18, verses 3 through 6, talks about a potter and a clay. This is, if you read the whole chapter, you'll see where Jeremiah actually gets this prophetic word, and God says, hey, Jeremiah, go down to the end of the street, towards the end of the city, and take a look at the potter's house. Go take a look at what's going on there as he does his work. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, in the Old Testament, all the things that Israel went through was to educate us and to give us examples of how to live in faith for God. So right now, the church is the community of faith. In the Old Testament, Israel was the community of faith. And so when we see God teach theory or ways to live in the Old Testament, that's how we can live now. And one of the things that God wants us to know is that it's never too late to start over. It's never too late to start over. He was talking to Israel at the time, and Israel had kind of strayed away from God, and they had actually, strayed away is too nice a way to say it. Israel had actually started worshiping false gods. They had done, if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, or 1 and 2 Kings, or even 1 and 2 Chronicles, it gets this list of all the kings and the decisions they made to pull away from God and start worshiping false gods. All the way up to and including making a big bonfire, taking their kids, slicing their kids' throats, and then throwing their kids in the fire to worship false gods. Wait, what? You know how that happens? One step at a time. I don't think one morning this king gets up and goes, I'm going to do the most horrible thing I can ever imagine. I think over years and months and weeks and days, just like us, we can choose to get a step away from God. I'm just not going to read my Bible today. Okay. I'm just not going to read or listen to any Christian music this week. I'm just going to go back to old rock and roll. Okay. You know what? I feel like sleeping in. I'm not going to go to church. Okay. As you do this day after day, week after week, month after month, eventually you're nowhere near where you used to be. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you're still in the Bible every single day. Hallelujah. Still listening to Christian music. Hallelujah. Still reading the Word. Still memorizing the Word. Still going to church. Serving that church. And your heart's hard as concrete. How does that happen? Little by little. My wife said something mean to me, and I'm not going to forgive her. Oh, and then my daughter said something mean to me, and I'm not going to forgive her. Oh, and then that guy at church, he said he was going to do something he didn't. I'm not going to forgive him. And this, and that. And then pretty soon, I'm over here, and my heart is stone cold, hard as concrete. Outward, oh, I look awesome. Oh, look at Pastor. She's still preaching. He's still doing all this stuff. But inside, little by little, I've let my heart get hard, just like a piece of clay. When clay is hard, you're done making stuff, right? He has Jeremiah go down to watch this guy, and it's no coincidence that Jeremiah walks up to this guy's house. This guy didn't know he was coming. Jeremiah walks up right at the time when it says he's finishing up making this thing, and he takes and he looks at it. And what's the word that he used? Because it's not a word we use much nowadays. It was marred. He says he had made a clay that was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into a different vessel. Wow. It's never too late to start over with God. I don't care if you're thinking, well, I'm not doing too bad. Let me ask you this. Are you the most on fire for God as you've ever been? This is the closest you've ever been to God. You feel the best you've ever done. Is there a lot of people here that could say that? Because I'll bet there's some people who say, no, not really. But you don't understand. Since this corona, since this happened in my health, since this person started treating me, since this person started acting like this, fill in the blank. Because it doesn't happen just one instant. We're on fire for God and then we're cold. It happens over step by step, over time. You know, this church, we had a lot of things going on just before Corona hit. I think we were the most active, most alive as we had been in several years. People were getting saved. Ask Logan and Hannah about the group at their house just before Corona hit. People were giving their lives to the Lord left, right, and center. That's what it seemed like to me. Almost every single week, somebody new was coming and giving their life to the Lord. It was amazing. We got all the carpet done in the back here. We got all the painting done going down in the basement. We had the children's room all redone. New ceiling, all that stuff, guys. We did repainting in that room. We were rolling. And then Corona hit. And it's like all of us just hit this big old pause button. And we're just kind of waiting and kind of waiting and kind of waiting. And then we have this, well, this is the new normal. What, waiting's the new normal? No, it ain't. It ain't my new normal. God's got a call on my life. How about you guys? God chose you on purpose to do some great things with you. Are you born again? I think everybody here is born again. Because that's where it all starts. That's where the clay gets pulled out, gets picked by the potter. He didn't just get the package off his neighbor's porch, right? It wasn't some kind of a porch pirate goes over there. Oh, look, it's clay. What can I do with clay? I don't even know what to do with clay. Maybe I'll throw it at the wall. This guy went, picked out the best clay that he could find, grabs a piece, and says, this is going to be perfect for my purposes. That's you guys. That's you guys. He looks at that clay, and he says, you know what? This is Emily. And I've got an idea in my mind what I can create out of this clay. I'm going to turn her into this beautiful vessel for my purposes. And he starts working with it and molding and shaping and adding pressure. Right? There's always pressure. Pressure isn't bad. Pressure is how God shapes us. Because with pressure, he can push us back into himself. He can pull us back into himself. With pressure, he can put his purposes into us. If we run from pressure, we'll never be who he created us to be. We'll never fulfill his purposes if we always run from pressure. In John 3, 1 through 6, you guys are very familiar with this. You can turn there if you want. Otherwise, I'll just read it. It's a story about this Pharisee, this religious guy, who was doing all the outward stuff right. His name was Nicodemus. He was one of the most important religious guys there. If you wanted religion, go to Nicodemus. He could chapter and verse, all of it, quote it anytime you want. He could tell you about all the stuff. How do we do this service? How do we do that service? How do we do this feast? Got it. Been there, done that, knows it. He sneaks out at night because he's afraid what people thought about him talking to Jesus. That's what it says. John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know what? Sometimes when you use that phrase, it blows people's circuits. They go, born again, what is that? You belong to a cult? What is that? That's just stupid. That's crazy. How can you be born again? Nicodemus thought the same thing with his natural mind. You cannot get it. Look at Jesus' answer to him. He says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So I want to encourage all of us. I want to challenge us a little bit. Are you born again? Yeah, you're born again. And so in this natural world, where we're being bombarded by all the natural stuff, we've got to make a point to go, hold on, I have a spirit man in here. And my spirit man communes with God spiritually. And so how am I feeding my spirit man? How am I getting myself built up spiritually? Because I can't do natural stuff and feed my spirit and think that's going to work. If I do that, if that's what you've been doing, you'll know that you're doing it wrong because you feel dry. You feel worn out. You feel like, well, a piece of clay that after it was picked up and before it was created in something, it was allowed to dry out. And now when it starts to try to do stuff, it's really hard. Nothing moves right. That means your spirit man is drying out and it needs some moisturizing. Imagine this potter. You know, I didn't have anything at home that I could even try to illustrate this with, so I'm going to try to use my words. I think all of us have seen over the years, TV or somewhere else, where you have a potter where he takes the clay and he puts it on this wheel, and then he sits down at the wheel and he can either like ride the bike that like turns the gears. Sometimes they use their foot, and there's a wheel underneath that when they rotate that, then the top one turns. So this thing turns kind of like this. It goes around, and they put the clay right in the middle. So as that's turning around, the potter creates what he wants done on that thing. So he can smooth the sides. He can raise the sides up. He can even up the top of it. But through doing it, he's got this picture. Now, I used Emily as an example a little bit ago. When Emily got saved, when she gave her life to the Lord, and who she's going to be on the day Christ comes back, there's a process. Just like for all of us. God's goal is this. God's goal isn't today. This isn't God's goal. This is part of the process to get us. When Christ comes back and the project is completed, that's what God sees in his mind. What do you think he's looking at when he's looking at you? Who you used to be Thursday when you blew it? Or who you used to be 2 months ago when you blew that or you did this or didn't do that? Or what? We judge ourselves by our worst times. God judges us by our best times. That means when we accepted Christ, when we believed God and accepted the full payment of his son in our lives, God says, wow, that's it. That's it. Let me show you the plans I have for your life. Here comes some pressure. Here comes some pressure. I want to form Christ in you. So Jesus formed in me is going to look way different than Jesus formed in Kyle. There'll be similarities. There'll be a family resemblance. But the finished product's going to be way different. Turn with me into the New Testament to Philippians chapter 1. Could I have somebody turn the fans on for me, please? Getting a little bit warm in here. I think it's still cooler than outside, but getting a little warm. If you feel like you don't know what to pray for yourself anymore, you're not sure what scripture to look up for where you're at, if you feel like you're just kind of stuck, or that goes for someone near you that you love, someone that's in your family, you're praying for them, and it's like, man, I've been praying for them for years, I don't see any change, and I don't know what to pray anymore. It seems like I prayed everything I can pray, nothing's changed. I want to encourage you to pray this verse. I want to encourage you to memorize Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It's a very simple one. It says, this is what Paul said to Timothy about Timothy. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is such an awesome promise. Because in this day and age, especially the last couple months, where it just seems like the pause button got hit, I want to tell you, the pause button did not get hit by God. God's still shaping and forming us. He is on the way to finishing a project in each one of us. We've got a call on our lives. He handpicked us for salvation. He brought us into his shop. He put us on his pottery wheel, and he's using both of his hands to shape us. to form us for his purposes. Some of us are going to be salt shakers. Some of us are going to be pasta bowls. Some of us are going to be soup bowls. Some of us are going to be fancy wine glasses, each made specifically for a purpose. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to be at. Awesome. Because the good news is God's not done, but he's still on the job. So we can trust God, being confident of this very thing. This is what I've been praying for some of my loved ones now for the last couple years. And the freedom that it gave me, I can't exaggerate it. The freedom that this verse gave me to release people into God's hand, it's almost life-changing. Because me being confident of this very thing, that God has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, that takes all my faith and puts it in God. It takes all my faith away from this person who still isn't changing or isn't changing enough or, oh, he just got a little bit worse. It's like, it's none of that. I'm not worried about him. I don't care what he's doing. My faith's in God. He's on the job. He's going to complete this good work until it's done. Now my faith isn't in me praying enough or praying right or doing anything right. All my faith goes back into God. And so I want to encourage you this. As you're thinking about being this clay that God's shaped and molding and perfecting with final touches for purpose in his kingdom, he's the right guy for the job, and he is not going to stop until it is completed. The potter will always apply pressure to even things out. And sometimes, if you've ever been in a pressurized situation, I'll bet all of us have. I'll bet all of us have been brought through pressurized things that we would have never picked for ourselves and found ourselves in it. And that's what's so great. That's one of the great things about God. Because he loves us enough to bring us through some really tough stuff so that at the end of it, we're who he knew we could be. We don't trust ourselves enough. We see some of the stuff that God's brought us into, and we look at it, and if we knew the whole story, oh, we'd just cut and run the other direction. I can't do that, God. Why are you bringing me to? I can't do it. God says, oh, you can do this thing. With me, you can do all things, right? And God takes us through these amazing things. This is how the Passion Version says this verse. Listen to Philippians 1:6. Paul says, I pray with great faith for you, because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Come on. Doesn't that get you excited? That's what Paul believed for Timothy. That's what we can believe for ourselves and for each other. Listen to this. I'll read it again. Philippians 1:6 out of the Passion Version. I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So our faith is in God, the God who saved us, the God who started doing all this work in us. Our faith is totally in him to work us. You know the most critical thing about working clay? The most critical thing is keeping the clay moist while you're trying to work it. If you let the clay dry out while you're trying to shape it, the same pressure that would shape it to the perfect purpose will crack it. And so if you've ever seen anything about pottery, you can Google this. That's where I learned some of this. I use Google about every Sunday nowadays, seems like. In this illustration, the guy had his wheel going like this, and it's spinning around. He's shaping all this stuff. And then right next to him, he had this other little bowl with water in it. And literally, like, he'd do it just for a little bit. He's constantly keeping that clay to where it almost looked too wet to me. But he's the expert, so he must know what he's doing. I know for sure the opposite holds true. If you try to shape clay and it gets dry, and then, oh, I just want to fix, snap, and you ruin it. So let me ask you this. If you're clay, and we've already looked at the Bible calls us clay, so if God's the potter and we're the clay, how moist are you? you feel like you're, I mean, almost to the point where if God's hands aren't around you so full of moisture, you just kind of slide off the table? Are you so dry that it's like, if you just touch one more thing, even with the slightest touch of a finger, you're going to break something. I'm so stressed. I'm so burnt out. I'm so dry. I'm at my limit. Or are you somewhere in between? It's an easy fix. It's a super easy fix. It's the easiest fix in the world. Oh, it's actually the hardest thing in the world. It's the easiest and the hardest thing. You know what I'm talking about? Surrendering to God. Just simply going to God and saying, God, I think I've botched some stuff. Somehow, either over the last day or the last week or the last month or the last year or the last 5 years, somewhere in all this, God, I've stepped away from you. And I feel like a crispy critter now. I feel like cereal without milk. I need some water, Lord. It's the hardest and the easiest thing. Because the thing is, the drier you get, the harder it is to move. And I mean that spiritually. The drier we get spiritually, the harder it is for us just to go, Lord, fill me up, Lord. I don't like this no more. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like how I'm thinking. I don't like the condition of my heart. Would you please fill me? The Holy Spirit, just as surely as we're clay, the Holy Spirit's water. Just as surely. Now, there's a few different symbols in the Bible that talk about the Holy Spirit. One of the big ones, though, is water. It's awesome. Isaiah 55 says this. This where we start out with Isaiah saying the potter and the clay. Isaiah 55:1 says this. Ho! That's what he says. I like saying it that way. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. I don't think when Isaiah was thinking about us, people like you and me, who get stressed, who get burnt out, who get hurt by other people's choices, get hurt by our own choices, get blown up in this world, get stressed and pressured. I don't think Isaiah was thinking, okay, here we are, we've made a mess of our lives, and here's the glorious God, the Holy Ghost, who wants to come and fill you up. I don't think he thought of just like, well, if you guys want to do it, go ahead. Are you done? Okay, good. Everybody who's thirsty, now's the time. Ho! I see some of you guys still kind of wondering. No, now is the time for the Holy Ghost to come and fill you up. John 7, this is what John wrote down about what Jesus said. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, doesn't say Jesus stood up and whispered. Doesn't say Jesus stood up and made hand signals. Said he stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That is the exact opposite of having a hard heart, having a dried up heart, being worn out and crispy. This is the opposite of that. You're so full of God, so full of the Holy Ghost, so lubricated in the Spirit that there's a river flowing out of your heart. And just think about when you've been excited about God, when you know that God touched you. All of us have had those experiences, right? Think about when that was, when God touched you. You were full of God, excited, just like His presence was almost touchable. And then think how excited you were and how easy it was for you to pour out into other people. Because your tank is so full. It's like a river of living water flowing out of your heart. You just want to love people, help people, serve people. It's just automatic, supernatural. We are better Christians when we're full of God accidentally than we are trying our hardest when we're not full of God. Because when we're not full of God, when our hearts aren't living waters, when we're not lubricated with the Holy Ghost, man, it doesn't take much to frustrate us. It doesn't take much to get us angry. Doesn't take much to bum us out. Just about anything. Oh, by the way, we're still all surrounded with people, so all those things will happen. Right? This is how the Bible ends. Literally. The Bible ends talking about the Holy Spirit like this. Listen to this. This is three verses from the end of the book. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Wow, there's over 10,000 verses in the Bible. This is almost the end of it. Close the book, live Christianity. Let anyone who thirsts, anyone who desires to take of the water of life freely. Whew. So this should be something that all of us are looking for often. Often. How do you get in touch with the Holy Ghost? You guys are all born again. We already said we're born again. Jesus said if you're born again, you can enter the kingdom and you can see the kingdom. So that means all of us spiritually can work with the Holy Ghost. Right? That's how I read it. So how are we doing that? Because if we're not intentional about it, we won't do it. Simple as it's like losing weight. I don't think I've ever accidentally lost weight. Right? I have to intentionally do it. I got to build my whole life around it and then work hard at it and I lose weight. Well, if I want my tank full of the Holy Ghost, I can't just sit there watching football games on TV and think somehow the Holy Spirit's going to just like mug me and then fill me up with him when I'm ignoring him. But I think if I'll just take some time and go, you know what? I'm not sure about all this stuff, but Father, I do believe you're the potter. I'm the clay. You've started a good work in me. I know you're not done. You want to still bring some pressure and some adjustments in me so I can fulfill the purposes you have in my life. Lord, please fill me up with the Holy Ghost. I think in that attitude and that type of thing, something big will happen. But I'm going to close with this. And I want to invite all of us to have a response. Because I believe God uses pressure for our good to make us more like his son. We are surrounded by a world that tells us right now, if it's not easy, somebody's wrong and someone's to blame. We're supposed to have ease and comfort all the time. And that's just not reality. I think God uses pressure to shape us into Christ. So right now, we all have an opportunity to be shaped. But we have to do two things. And this is where I'm asking for a response. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to let anybody else know anything. But this is between you and God. So I want us to do this. Evaluate ourselves. Just kind of look inside right now. You don't look at nobody else and don't tell nobody else. But look inside and just think about this. Do you want to fulfill God's purpose for your life? Because we have to be honest. If we really don't care about God's purpose in our lives, then, I mean, that is a response then. But if you answer yes to that, you want God's purpose in your life, which we're all born again, I think we all do, then let me ask you this question. Do you feel like you're dry and brittle, or do you feel like you're well-watered and flexible? I'm not asking you to evaluate your wife or your husband or your dad, your brother. Are you dry and brittle, or do you feel like you're well-watered and flexible? Because if you're dry and brittle, man, we can fix that today. Can I have the worship team come up? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but could you guys come up and lead us in that song, It Is Well? What was that one you said? I Will. Yes, I Will. If you could lead us in this song. And for all the rest of us, I just want you to, basically, I'm asking you, the worship team, while you're singing, you can make the same response. But I'm asking all of us, let's make a response today. Because I think the word that came forth today about potter and clay is for all of us. And so, do you want God's purpose fulfilled in your life? And do you want more of the Holy Ghost so that you can be shaped when the pressure comes and not cracked when the pressure comes? If so, then as we're singing this, just sing, "Yes, I Will, Lord." Sing whatever words you want to sing, but just say, "God, I want all that you have for me. Father, I surrender to your will. I submit to your plans." In your own words, you're just going to say, "God, I want your will for my life, and I want more of you to do it. I can't do it in my own strength. I need more of the Holy Spirit." And I'm going to be up here. I'm going to ask all of us to stand up, and we'll sing and worship the song. But if you want to come up and you want me to pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. If you want to just stay there and do business with God, awesome. Praise God. God bless you. But if you want, I'd love to pray for you. So go ahead and lead us in that song, and then I'll close after the song.
Yes, I will for all my days. nothing can
sing
save
it. Yes, I will.
Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for today and for this word. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help each and every one of us, those that are here this morning, those that are going to be listening to it on the internet. Father, would you help us now to lay hold of all that you laid hold of us for? Each one of us was made special and unique for your purposes, for your good plan for our life. Would you help us to achieve those goals now? Would you help us to be fruitful for you? Would you help us to be full of the joy of the Lord and help us to share that with the people around us? Fill us up to overflowing, Lord. We ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Lord, I thank you for answering our prayers. I thank you for the worship team today. I thank you, Lord, for all the people that paid such close attention to this message, Lord. I just thank you that your people are hungry for you and hungry for you in their lives. And I thank you and praise you for that, God. Thank you for your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.